Tzosha Chayle Yisrael. So you'd be able to probably work out exactly what the Chofetz Chaim wants you to do, because we're, Baruch Hashem, quite familiar with Sefer Chofetz Chaim and the things that he's looking for. So he gives an example. He's working on the basis of B'tzedek Tishbo Itam Yisecho, that you have a halacha that unless somebody is out of the category of Amisecho, in other words, mamash like a Mechal Shabbos Befeesia, then that person you're obliged to be don l'chav schus. So he gives an example. He says, Reuben's walking down the street, and he sees Shimon coming out of the Beis Hayoro, and he's waving the psak din that he just got. He just lost the case. And he meets Reuben, as Reuben's walking down the street, he meets Shimon coming out the Beis Din, waving this psak din in the air, and saying, these dayonim don't know what they're talking about. He lost the case, but he should have won the case. They weren't listening, they didn't understand, one of them was sleeping, he come up with all sorts of tarnas. It's an incompetent psak. This shouldn't be dayonim, they're not fit to be, v'chole. Sort of thing, what's it say here? Did you ever hear something so ridiculous in all your life as this psak din? Yeah? It's obvious that I deserve to win, and I still lost. So, and he says, if I'd gone to any other Beis Din, yeah, then they would have zicha found for me. But, you know, the Nitan was entitled to choose the Beis Din, and he chose this Beis Din. Yeah, and so, if Reuven agrees with Shimon, if he says, you're right, Beis Din, you know, they're not up to the job, then the halacha is that he would be guilty of not being B'tzedek Tishbo Itam Yisecho. The Dayonim are entitled to B'tzedek Tishbo Itam Yisecho. Yeah, and also, he'll be accepting Lashon Hara, because the person speaking Lashon Hara about the Dayonim who judged his case and said that they're no good. And we said that Lashon Hara about Rabbonim is even worse than Lashon Hara about average people, because it can affect their reputation, and ultimately it can affect the way people do or don't go and ask them shalos and accept their psokim. So what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to calm Shimon down. Yeah, Reuven is supposed to calm Shimon down and try and explain to them that they probably have done the job properly, and also to say to him that everything is min hashamayim, and the Rebbein Shem's got ways of putting things right. And even if the Dayonim got the psak wrong, even if you are right and the Dayonim got the psak wrong, but nevertheless, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ways of putting things right. We know any number of stories about the way eventually the Rebbein Shem puts right the loss that one person ought to have had and the gain that somebody had which wasn't correct, and he eventually lost his gain and the other guy got his loss back, and therefore he should say Bashet. I'll tell you, Belina, tomorrow, two cases that I've had were both in Beis Din, which both mamash affect this halacha of the Chofetz Chaim, are affected by this halacha of the Chofetz Chaim. And in one case, I've got nothing but admiration for the Baal Din. And in the other case, maybe I didn't do what I was supposed to have done. Okay, Belina, tomorrow.
Start your day the Torahway, Northwest London, Monday, Kofches Nissen, 13th day of the Omer, 6th of May, Rabbi Mendel Gordon, Shita, the significance of the fifth year. The show is Leschus, Ashuvoim v'achayolim v'amilchamoy, shachsu levotayev m'shalom b'mheiro.
Amen. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
It's Parshas Kedoshim, and one of the mitzvahs, beautiful mitzvahs that we have in Parshas Kedoshim, is the mitzvah of chisavayu al haaretz and etatam kol eitz machol, that when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you plant fruit trees, so there's a mitzvah that for the first 3 years, shalosh shanim yulecham areilim lo yeyachol. First 3 years, the fruits are considered arla, forbidden to eat them, forbidden to have any benefit from them. Bashana harevius, and in the fourth year, yia kol piryoi kodesh hilulim l'Hashem. All the fruits should be holy for the sake of praising Hashem. Practically speaking, Chazal tell us what that means is that these fruits have to be treated the same as Maaser Sheni, to be taken to Yerushalayim, and if they're too heavy to be taken to Yerushalayim, they have to be exchanged for money, and the money is taken to Yerushalayim, and over there food is bought with this money, and eaten with special sanctity in Yerushalayim. So if the fruits themselves are taken to Yerushalayim, then the fruits themselves have to be eaten with special sanctity in Yerushalayim, B'kdusha, B'tahara. The person has to be in a state of Tahara, in a state of spiritual purity when he eats them. And it's a special mitzvah. You make a bracha, Shekidashanu, B'mitzvahisa, B'tzivanu, Al-Achilas, or Lechel, Netarevai. And it's treated with a special Kedusha. Then the pasuk continues, U'bashana ha-chamishis, and the fifth year. So then it's lahaysif lachem tfu asoy. The fifth year, it's chumash in front of me, but in the fifth year, these fruits can be eaten. Thank you very much. The fifth year, the fruits can be eaten in all circumstances and in all places. And the lashon in the pasuk is Ubashana hachamish is teichlu aspiria. In the fifth year, you may eat its fruits. Lahaysif lachem tvuase, to increase for you its produce. Ani Hashem alekeichem, I am Hashem your God. From the lashon lahaysif lachem tvuase, it appears that the tachlis of the whole purpose of the whole process, the 3 years that we refrain from eating the fruits, and the fourth year that we take the fruits to Yerushalayim and we eat them, B'kdusha V'tahara in Yerushalayim, is to arrive at Lehoisif Lachem Tvuasai, the fifth year, when Hashem will give a special bracha in the produce, and this seems to be the climax of the operation, which at first glance looks a little bit hard to understand, because the first 3 years, when we refrain from eating the fruits, we're fulfilling a mitzvah's leisasa. The Torah says refrain from eating the fruits. By refraining from eating the fruits, we're fulfilling a mitzvah. The fourth year, we're fulfilling a mitzvah saseh. Taking the fruits to Yerushalayim and eating them, b'kdusha v'tahara in Yerushalayim, we're fulfilling a positive mitzvah. But the fifth year is nothing. Fifth year, it's chulin. It's regular produce. You can eat it anywhere, in any circumstance, whether you're toher or you're tamei. There's no special mitzvah. There's no special asher kedushanu mitzvah yisavitzivanu. And this seems to be the climax. So it's very puzzling that after experiencing 3 years of fulfilling a negative commandment, the mitzvah's leisus, and then a year of fulfilling a positive mitzvah, then suddenly you get to the climax, which is stam. This question perhaps is more emphasized when you look at it, al pi Kabbalah. Al pi Kabbalah, there's various explanations and the significance of the 3 years and the fourth year. One of the explanations to do with the fact that it has to do with Shalosh Klipes Hatmeis. Kabbalah speaks of three levels of mundanity, which are completely impure and do not have the capacity of being redeemed and elevated, which is generally the idea of the prohibited things in life. Non-kosher food fits into that category. We find in Merkavis Yecheskel, the Navi speaks about Ruach Se'ara, Ve'esh Mislakachas, Ve'anon Gadol, a storm wind and a great cloud and a flaming fire, which represent, according to Kabbalah, the three klipas atmeis. So you have 3 years of arla corresponding to the three klipas atmeis. Then you have klipas noiga, the transparent klipa, which has the capacity of being redeemed, has the capacity of being elevated. And this is the idea of kosher food that you can use to serve Hashem. So again, you have the number three and the number four. According to further explanations in Kabbalah, it has to do with the four elements, the four worlds. Kabbalah speaks of the four worlds, Atzilus, the world of emanation, Bria, creation, Yetzirah, when things are formed, and Asiyah, when things are finally made into the finished product. So you have four worlds, Atzilus, Bri, Yetzirah, Asiyah, corresponding to the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud, K, Vav, K. So it says that the 3 years of Arla correspond to the three lower worlds, Asiyah, Yetzirah, and Bria, being that they're part of creation. Everything in creation is a mixture of good and evil. So there's a possibility for evil to take hold over there. And therefore, there are certain restrictions on what you may do and what you may not do. And in this case, you have the prohibition of Arla, because in the three worlds of Bri, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, it's possible for Klipa to get a hold on it. However, when it comes to the highest world, the world of Atzilus, which corresponds to the Yud of Hashem's name, that's a world of pure godliness. It's a world of There's no mundanity. There's no unholiness. There's no impurity. It's a world of pure Kedusha, a world of pure getlichkeit, pure godliness. And therefore, that is a world of Kedush, Hilulim, Lashem. It's holy, and it's for the sake of praising Hashem. And that corresponds to the Yud of Hashem's name, and that's the fourth year when we take the fruits of Yerushalayim and we treat them with special holiness. Then comes Bashana HaChamishis. What's the Shana HaChamishis? The Shana HaChamishis is the Koitzei Shel Yud, the thorn on top of the Yud. That's the Eirein Sof, the infinite light of Hashem, which transcends even the structure that there is in the world of Atzilus. Because the world of Atzilus, although it's a world of godliness, but it's a world of structure within godliness. You have Eser Sviris, you have intellectual aspects of godliness, emotional aspects of godliness, so there's a structure. But the Eirein Sof, which transcends even the world of Atzilus, the Madrega HaChamishis, that's the Bashana HaChamishis, that's the highest madrega. So that makes the question that we asked before even greater. If that's the highest madrega, surely it should be treated with something unique. Just like the first 3 years, you connect with this concept by refraining from eating the fruits. In the fourth year, you connect with this concept by taking the fruits of Yerushalayim and eating them with a special kedusha. In the fifth year, there should be something even more spectacular that connects with this very, very highest madrega, the Eirein Sof, the Koitzei Shel Yud, which transcends even the structure of Kedusha and the structure of godliness. So it perhaps could be understood by sharing a story of the Baal Shem Tov. We all know that the Baal Shem Tov, Heluka Baal Shem Tov, the first 36 years of his life, he was a Nister. He was a hidden tzaddik. Only at the age of 36, by instruction of his Rebbes, did he reveal himself and proclaim himself as the Baal Shem Tov, and founded the movement of Chassidus. During the Tkufa, during the period of time that he was a hidden tzaddik, he was a Nisner, he would wander from place to place, dressed like an ordinary person, and do various things to be mechazik, to strengthen Yidden. And he had a special connection with Pashati Yidden, with ordinary Yidden. He liked to be mechazik Pashati Yidden. So one of the avodas of the Baal Shem Tov, one of the things that he did in the service of Hashem during that period of time, in his wanderings from city, from town to town and from village to village, he would approach Yidden, men, women, children, and ask them the brilliant question, the $6 million question, how are you? How are you? How's your health? How's your parnasa? And to give Yidden the opportunity to answer, as Yidden would naturally answer, Baruch Hashem, Geleib dem Eberstein, praised be the Almighty. And when a Yid praises the Almighty, it gives a tremendous nachas ruach takodesh baruch hu, and it's a tremendous schus for the Yid who praises Hashem, and it draws down upon him great brachas. And he felt that this was a very, very special avodah to bring Yidden into a situation where they would say Baruch Hashem, geleib der Eibishter, praised be the Almighty, and this would give a tremendous nachas ruach takodesh baruch hu, and bimamshich draw down incredible brachas for Yid. So the story goes that he once arrived in a village. And in this village, there were Pashati Yidden. And there was also a Yid, an incredible Talmud Chacham, who sat in the Beis HaMedrash, especially in his corner in the Beis HaMedrash, Biprishus, separated from all worldly endeavors, wearing talus and tefillin the whole day, and sitting and learning for 50 years. He was learning there Biprishus in his corner in the Beis HaMedrash. From morning till evening, he would die. After the last mincha, he would remove his talus and tefillin, and after Ma'ariv, he would take out from his sack a piece of bread and some water, and he would break his fast with his bread and water. That was his Seder throughout the week. So the Baal Shem Tov came to this village, and he approached people, the ordinary people, and he asked them, how are you? How's your health? How's your parnasa? And they answered, Baruch Hashem, thank you, the Eberstein, Geleib der Eberstein. And the Baal Shem Tov was very pleased. He came to the Beis Medrash, and he sees this Parush sitting and learning. So he goes over to him, and he says, excuse me, how are you? So he ignored him. How's your health? How's your parnasa? Do you have everything you need? He ignored him. And Hashem repeats it again. And finally he pushes with his hand, signals to him, you please, geigs into hay. Yeah. So the Baal Shem Tov says to him, Rabbi Yid, why are you being meineya from the kvayachol, his parnasa? Why are you holding back from the Almighty his sustenance? So he said, strange question. He looks at this man dressed like an ordinary villager, asking him a question, why are you withholding from the Almighty his sustenance? He looks at him, he says, what are you talking about? says, don't you know there's a pasuk, Va'ata Kadosh Yoshev Tehillas Yisrael. You, Eibishter, are holy. Yoshev, you sit on Tehillas Yisrael, on the praises of Yidden. In Yiddish, there's an expression, Erzitztaf, a person that earns his parnasa from having a shop, Erzitztaf sein Geschäft, Erzitztaf sein Kram. What he sits on means what he's sustained by, what he earns his sustenance from. So he says, everybody has some source of sustenance. This one has a shop, this one has a, he's a worker, this one, whatever, everybody has their thing. What do you earn your sustenance from? The answer is, Tehillas Yisrael, the praises of Yidden. When a Yid says, Baruch Hashem, thank in the Eibishter, thank the Almighty, praise be the Almighty, that's the sustenance of the Almighty. So I'm asking you a question, how are you, how's your health, how's your parnasa? To give you a chance to answer me, Baruch Hashem, Geloit der Eibishter, dank in the Eibishter, and you refuse to answer me. So you're withholding from the Almighty his parnasa. Ad kan is the Maisa. Now the idea that the Eibishter gets his parnasa from the Aveda of Yidden is not a chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov. We find this in Chazal. Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Piski li achoisi rayosi. So Yidden are referred to as rayosi. And Chazal say that the word rayosi means like my shepherd. Yisrael mefarnesin laviyem shabashamayim. Yidden sustain their father in heaven. That through their avoda, through their service of Hashem, Yidden sustain kvayochel the Almighty. Whatever that means. But the Baal Shem Tov emphasized that the one of the main ways in which we sustain the Almighty is by praising Him. By praising Him, Baruch Hashem, blessed be Hashem, thank Hashem, praised be Hashem, that's the sustenance of the Almighty. So the question is, the Baal Shem Tov wanted to encourage this Talmud Chacham, this Parush, to praise Hashem. So he could have spoken to him in a language that would be closer to his heart. He could have said, Reb Yid, how is your learning? Are you matzliach in learning? And the Yid would have answered, Baruch Hashem, I succeeded in completing so many and so many mesechtes with all the Rishenim and all the Achreinim. I'm Baruch Hashem sitting already 50 years and learning Beprishus with no disturbances. And I Baruch Hashem, thank the Hashem. Why did the Baal Shem Tov insist that the question should be about how are you, how is your health, how is your parnasa? Why didn't he ask him about spiritual matters, which would probably be closer to his heart and more likely would get a positive answer from him on it? And the answer to this could be found in a Maimer Chazal, famous Maimer Chazal, Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Nosoi, where the Medrash talks about the million-dollar question of what is the purpose of creation? Why did the Eibishter bother to create the world? And the Medrash says, Nis'ave HaKadosh Baruch Hu li yeis loy dira betachtein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires to have for himself a dwelling place in the lowest realm. Well, the higher realms are the spiritual realms, the worlds where godliness is more revealed. The lower realms, and the lowest realm is this physical world, which is devoid of revelation of godliness. It's an ordinary, mundane, physical world. Godliness is totally concealed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires that we, Yidden, through our Aveda, through our Limud HaTorah and Kiyum HaMitzvos and Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shamayim B'Chol Derechecha De'eyu, we should transform this world into a dwelling place for Hashem. And the emphasis is, Dira B'Tachtonim, in the lowest dimension of existence. That's where Hashem wants to dwell in the most revealed way, in the most open way. So when we praise Hashem about spiritual matters, in other words, we recognize Hashem's involvement in the spirituality of our existence. So it's a good gedavin, Baruch Hashem. I davened well this morning. I felt the Eibishter's presence in my davening. I feel the Eibishter's presence in my Limud HaTorah. That is making the Eibishter's presence, inviting the Eibishter's presence into your life, but only into the spiritual dimensions of your life. That's not the true tachtonim. The true tachtonim is when you invite the Eibishter's presence into the most physical and mundane aspects of your life. So since the Va'ata Kodesh Yeshiv Tehillas Yisrael is connected with Nis'ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyis, so the Baal Shem Tov wanted that Yidden should express their recognition of the Eibishter's presence in their mundane and physical existence. That as far as my health is concerned, I realize that my health is not dependent on the doctor, it's dependent on the Almighty. And my parnasa is not dependent on the stock market, it's dependent on the Eibishter. The Eibishter is the Zanu Mefarnes Lakel, the Eibishter is the Reifach HaBasar HaMafli Lasseis. And you should say Baruch Hashem, thank in the Eibishter, Geleib the Bashefer, when it comes to physical matters as well, and in that way he makes for the Eibishter a dira betachting. But the question could still be asked. So he could have, but this parish, when he finished his day's learning, and he took out, and he davened Ma'ariv, and he took out his piece of bread. I'm sure he made a bracha hamayitzi before he ate the bread. So he said, Baruch atah Hashem, elokeinu melech ha'olam hamayitzi lechem min ha'aretz. He recognized that the Eibush is the one who provides his sustenance. And when he finished eating, he surely was mekayim the mitzvah sasei min ha'torah of benching birchas hamazon. And he said, Azonas ha'olam kuloi betuvei becheinu bechesed berachmim hu noisein lechem l'chol basar kileilam chazdei. The Eibush is the one who provides bread for all flesh, for forever is his kindness. So it would seem that what the Baal Shem Tov was trying to achieve was there anyway through his fulfilling the mitzvahs of Brich Bracha Rishayna and Bracha Achrayna. So what was missing? The answer is, when a Yid makes a bracha before he eats, when a Yid benches after he eats, he's doing what it says in Shulchan Aruch you have to do. It's a religious experience. V'yiz the halacha. Before I eat a piece of bread, I have to make a bracha. I'll take a siddur and say the bracha. And say, v'yishtek the siddur. After eating, I have to bench. Take a siddur and I'll say what it says in the siddur. That's still a religious experience. True connection to the Eibishter, true bringing the Eibishter into Tachtonim, into the lowest aspect, in the low, most mundane dimension of your life, means that it should naturally come to your recognition without, it shouldn't be a religious experience. It should be the way you live your ordinary mundane life, is to recognize the Eibishter's presence in everything you do, in your health, in your sustenance, in your eating, in your sleeping. You should say everything, thank the Eibishter, blessed be the Eibishter, praised be the Eibishter, and it should come spontaneously, not as a religious obligation, but just by the way we live our lives. And this is the answer to the question that we asked before about the 3 years, the 4 years, the fourth year, and the fifth year. During the first 3 years, it's a religious experience to refrain from eating the fruits that the Torah has forbade us from eating. And when we mekayim a mitzvah, every minute that we refrain from eating those fruits, we're fulfilling a mitzvah. So it's a religious experience. It's a holy, heavenly experience. The fourth year, it's kodesh, it's holy. You take the fruits, you take them to Yerushalayim, you make sure that you're toher, you make sure you're in a state of kedusha, and you eat it, b'kedusha v'tara. So again, it's a beautiful thing, but it's a religious experience. So the first is connected with the three madregas of Asiya, Yetzirah, and Briya. The second is connected with the higher madrega of Atzilus. It's a very, very holy and special level of godliness. But the essence of Hashem, which transcends all structure, the Kaitzi Shal Yud, the Eirin Saf, which is totally the Maila Miseidur Ishtalshu, is completely higher than the whole order of chain of the worlds. This you connect with Bashana HaChamishis, in the fifth year, when it's you're not fulfilling a negative commandment by refraining from it. You're not fulfilling a positive commandment by eating it. You're just living an ordinary mundane life, and you are aware of the Eibishter's presence in your ordinary mundane life. When you're eating the fruits anywhere, not only Yerushalayim, in any circumstances, not only Betara, it could be Betuma, it could be Betara, it could be Yerushalayim, it could be a Chutz Laretz, wherever you are, you recognize the Eibishter's presence in your parnasa. You recognize the Eibishter's presence in your food. You realize that it's L'Hoisif L'Chem Tuvasi, that it's the Eibishter that increased your produce. And you see the Eibishter in every aspect of your ordinary mundane life. That is the highest connection to the Eibishter. That's the Rekoytze Shal Yot, it's the Eirin Sof. And there you're taka mekayim, the kavana, the intention for which the Almighty created this world, lases lo yizbarach dira betachtonim, to provide for the Eibishter a dwelling place in this lowest realm, in the most ordinary and mundane aspects of our existence, to see the Eibishter, feel the Eibishter, recognize the Eibishter. And this will bring about very, very speedily the situation where, as the Navi promised us, the time is coming very soon where umala ha'aretz deya es Hashem kamayim layom mechasim. The earth, the ordinary mundane world, will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem like the waters cover the sea. Not only in Shul and the Beis HaMedrash and the times of davening and when we're sailing Sefiras HaEmer and we're shaking back and forth, then we recognize the Eibishter, but in every ordinary mundane aspect of our existence, of our life, to recognize the Eibishter's presence, and that leads to Mala Ha'aretz Deyes Hashem Kamayim L'Yam Mechasim, B'Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'Mheira V'Yameinu Amen.